Well, first of all, I'd like us to turn in God's Word to Joshua chapter 2, Joshua chapter 2, and to read from verse 1 down to verse 14. Joshua chapter 2, and reading from verse 1. Now, Joshua the son of Nun sent two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country." Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." So the men answered her, "Our lives for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours. And it shall be, when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you." Amen. And then we turn across into the New Testament to Hebrews chapter 11 and to verse 31. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31. "By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace." The apostolic writer now draws our attention to Rahab as an example of persevering faith. This woman is part of the cloud of witnesses in Hebrews 12 and verse 1. "Those who have run their race and who motivate us as we run our race with endurance." And as we consider their example in the scriptures, it's as if they're cheering us on, they're urging us to keep going until we reach the finishing line to win the eternal prize. Last time we saw that the walls of Jericho collapsed after they were encircled for 7 days, verse 30. This was God's way of conquering this fortified city. Joshua believed God's word, he acted upon it, and sure enough, on the seventh day, the walls fell down. With Jericho's defenses out of the way, every person in the city was put to death upon God's instructions, apart from Rahab and her family. And they were spared because of Rahab's faith. Why were these people put to death? Well, for one simple and solemn reason. The wages of sin is death in all ages. Romans 6, verse 23. Had we the time this evening, we could show that Canaanite culture was utterly corrupt and wicked. It was steeped in idolatry, including the sacrifice of children to false gods. Deuteronomy 12, verse 31. It was also steeped in sexual perversity, Leviticus 18, 24 to 25 in the context. I won't go into the sordid details. It was also steeped in the occult, Deuteronomy 18, 9 to 14. And we have to remember that the Lord had been very, very patient indeed with the Canaanites. Good God could have destroyed this people centuries earlier in the time of Abraham. But we're told in Genesis 15, verse 16, that their iniquity was not yet complete. The guilt of these people had not reached its full measure. And so God was prepared to wait for some hundreds of years, graciously giving these people time to repent. But now in Joshua's time, that full measure had been reached and judgment was imminent. But Rahab and her family were spared from death. Now, why is that? Well, the writer tells us by faith. By faith. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she received the spies with peace. It's very interesting, that expression there, did not perish with those who did not believe, means that if the others in Jericho had have believed as Rahab believed, they also would have been saved from destruction like her. She believed, they did not believe. She was saved, they perished. They chose not to believe. Instead of trusting in the God of Israel, instead of turning to him in believing repentance, they continued to cling to their detestable idols. So they had every opportunity, like Rahab, to believe, but they didn't. Well, the first thing to consider, I think, is the basis of Rahab's faith. The basis of Rahab's faith. True faith, we've said in this series, must have a true foundation. Genuine faith is not wishful thinking. It must be rooted and grounded in divine revelation. Now, here's the interesting thing, going back to Joshua chapter 2, there is no indication at all in the historical narrative that Joshua offered terms of peace to this city. Furthermore, there is no evidence that a prophet like Jonah was sent to this great city to tell them that divine judgment was imminent. But we're told Rahab was saved by faith. She did not perish because she believed. Well, the question is, believed what? There was no prophet, no preacher sent into Jericho. but she is classified as a woman of faith? Well, the answer comes in the words of Rahab herself, speaking to the spies, and they're worth reading again very carefully. Joshua 2, verse 9. Listen, she begins with these words, "I know." Blessed assurance. "I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. Listen, for we have heard." Where does faith come from? Faith comes from hearing. "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts, all of us in Jericho, melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. Listen, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." What a wonderful confession of faith, given the historical context and who is speaking these words. You see, news had got around, even prior to the days of the internet and 24/7 real-time live news. Word gets around. 40 years earlier, the Lord had poured out the plagues upon Egypt. He'd led his people through the Red Sea. He'd set them free from bitter slavery. And word had got around what the God of Israel had done in Egypt for his people. And it seems to me very likely that the Canaanites would have had some intimation that their land would be given to the children of Israel, because the Lord had made that promise many times, and word gets around. As we thought on Sunday evening, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, Psalm 24 verse 1. That means that the Lord has the sovereign right to give the earth or any part of the earth to whom he will. And of course, more recently, as Rahab knew, she knew what had happened 40 years earlier in Egypt and the Red Sea crossing, but more recently, she and the others in Jericho knew about the judgment of God upon those two kingdoms on the other side of the Jordan. And now the people of God have crossed the Jordan. So with all of that, the people of Jericho knew what was coming. They knew what God had done in Egypt. They knew what God had done at the Red Sea. They knew what God had done to Og and the others on the other side of the river. Now the people of God have crossed the river. They're now in the land of Canaan. They are encamped out, if you will, before this great fortified city of Jericho. They must have known what was coming. And it's very clear from Rahab's confession of faith that she had turned her back on the pagan deities worshipped in Canaan. "The Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." This is the God Rahab now believes in. Not some local tribal deity, but the God who rules heaven and earth. She even uses God's covenant name, Lord, in uppercase capital letters in our English Bible. She refers to God as Yahweh or Jehovah. And because Rahab goes on in Joshua 2 to plead for herself and her family, she also believed Israel's God to be merciful. And I think it's very striking that later in the chapter she asks the spies to swear to her by the Lord, by Yahweh or Jehovah. She believes that Israel's God is faithful and true, that those who swear by his name are absolutely bound to keep their word. It's quite remarkable when you look at it carefully. The basis of Rahab's faith was indeed divine revelation. But here's the interesting thing. For her, it wasn't hearing a preacher or a prophet, but simply the gossip, the news, the report that had gone around. And that's a remarkable thing. And everyone in Jericho had the same divine revelation as Rahab. All of them had heard about Egypt, the Red Sea, Sihon and Og. And she believed and was saved. The others did not believe and they perished. And so it is today, dear friends, with the gospel. It is as simple as that. Secondly, we must give some attention to the fruit of Rahab's faith, which is highlighted for us here. We notice in our text here in Hebrews 11:31 that Rahab received the spies with peace. I think that's a sort of way of saying she gave them a warm welcome to her home. In other words, as the fruit of her new faith, she protected the servants of the Lord from their enemies. And it's clear that Rahab's loyalties had now changed from her own people to the people of God. She welcomed the two spies and she hid them, protecting them from harm. It's interesting that James in his letter also draws our attention to this as the fruit of Rahab's faith. James 2:25. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, to understand what James is saying, we have to see that there is a twofold justification. First of all, we're justified by faith alone. This justification frees us from divine condemnation, reconciles us to God through faith in the blood of Jesus. But then, once we're justified by faith, we are justified by our works in the sense that our works prove the reality of our faith. Once we ourselves are counted as righteous through faith, our works as the fruit of faith are counted as righteous. And it's only when we ourselves are acceptable to God that our works can be acceptable to God. And by the way, that's the reason why everywhere in the Bible, the final judgment is according to works. Because good works are the fruit of faith, and evil works are the fruit of unbelief. But everywhere you go in the Bible, Old Testament and New, the final judgment is according to works, because works demonstrate the heart, whether that heart is a heart of faith or a heart of unbelief. You see, Rahab not only believed, she acted upon what she believed. Because these two spies were the servants of the God of Israel, they needed to be protected from those pursuing them. Her faith was not a dead faith, going back to James. It wasn't a speculative faith. Rahab demonstrated her faith by looking after the servants of God. And of course, think about it, she was putting her own life on the line and that of her family. And it's the same today. We demonstrate our faith by our works, by looking after God's servants, each other, as those who are part of the same body of Christ. The basis of Rahab's faith was divine revelation, the great redemptive works of God in Egypt and at the Red Sea. Word had got around, faith had come by hearing the news. And the fruit of Rahab's faith was caring for the servants of the Lord, even at the risk of her own life. And thirdly and finally, we could think about the blessings of Rahab's faith. For one thing, and it's a rather obvious thing to say, but quite remarkable, to even find Rahab listed here in Hebrews 11. Along with great men and women of God, the great worthies, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Joseph, Moses, and all the others. And here is Rahab. And I believe her inclusion here in Hebrews 11 points us to her subsequent history after the fall of Jericho. That she didn't just sort of toddle off with her family to start a new life somewhere else. It's really quite moving, Joshua 6 and verse 25. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. Listen, so she dwells in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jacob. Isn't that lovely? Having come to faith in the Lord, she now settles among the Lord's people. Do you know she even got married? We know the name of her husband, actually, a man called Salmon. And Salmon and Rahab had a baby boy, whom they named Boaz. Matthew 1 verse 5. The future husband of Ruth. Isn't it wonderful how it all fits in so perfectly? Ruth, another Gentile woman, who would be grafted into the olive tree of Israel through faith. So Matthew 1 verse 5, Rahab is in our Lord's family tree. She is part of Christ's human ancestry, the idol-worshipping prostitute in the city of Jericho, condemned to destruction. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. It reminded me that we are also in the family of Jesus. I know we're not listed in Matthew 1 in the genealogy or anything like that, but the Lord does say in Matthew 12 and verse 50 that if we do the will of his Father in heaven, then the Lord regards us as his brother and sister and mother. That we are part of his family. In closing, I have no doubt at all that Rahab was part of the first fruits of a great harvest of precious souls to be gathered into Christ's kingdom from among the Gentiles in this gospel age. And Rahab very much stands as a beacon of hope in a hopeless world. That there is divine grace for those who are outside the covenant community of the Lord's people. That in Christ the outsiders can become insiders and have a place within the family of God. There is also divine grace for the sexually immoral, like Rahab, even for prostitutes who sell their own bodies, and for those who worship false gods, as Rahab did. In fact, it's a strange thing. According to Matthew 21, verse 31, there is more hope for the prostitute than the Pharisee. That's amazing. More hope for the prostitute than the proud, self-righteous, ultra-religious Pharisee. And even during our Lord's earthly ministry, the prostitutes were entering God's kingdom before the Pharisees to find forgiveness and new life under the reign of grace. It's possible, isn't it, for anyone to be born again, regardless of the mess that they've made of their lives up until now. To be born again, to have the slate wiped clean, to start life over with the Lord. A new beginning. What a wonderful thing. You know, I couldn't help but think that the city of Corinth was very much like the city of Jericho, morally and spiritually. And those wonderful words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, nor revilers, extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God if they go on in those sins." And such were some of you. Such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. What a wonderful beacon of hope Rahab is, as she's presented to us in the Word of God. There is hope for the very worst sinner, the vilest offender who truly believes. That moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Amen.